But soon he will learn manners. I will torture his body so that his soul learns to be humble.
Okay, he know we just talking here, right? I mean, we just getting people interested in
Cage Against the Machine.
Cage Cousins, we shouldn't have left you without something or a dope beat, just a step or two.
The step two.
This is the premier podcast of mixed martial arts, wellness, hip hop culture, urban nerds, comic books, and all sorts of jokes.
All sorts of jokes.
Cage Against the Machine, the round zero. I am the sweet NBA. I am joined by, once again,
Adisa the Bishop, fool.
We've been meaning to do this for years. I'm so glad I see him every
month. It's a good time.
And as well, my co-founder.
Brain damage.
Brain, bro.
This is a very special podcast, near and dear to my heart, my family's heart. We are now talking about UFC 243, which is Robert Whittaker versus Israel Adesanya. Before we get really into it, what we do, we have to talk about our current events in the world of mixed martial arts.
Current events.
One of the first interesting ones, Stevens versus Rodriguez 2, booked for Boston.
Yeah.
I was kind of
asking. I love Boston.
I was pleasant. Why do you like Boston so
much? It's a great city, man.
Is it just because people fight on the street all the time?
Or it's pretty rowdy. Okay, but then it's clean.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So it's like hella wild, but then the streets are clean. And then
fair.
Yeah. I like Boston. And the food. Did you know that like how we have Mexicans in San Francisco?
Yes.
Just as a big ass culture who hang out?
Yes.
That's how Boston has Brazilians.
Yes.
Some of the best Brazilian food you will ever have is
sense.
In Boston. Shout out to Brian Coleman, man. You know what I mean? He took me to the, hey, what do they call it when they bring the meat around and you cut it off? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Bruh.
The Brazilian steakhouse?
Stand.
Or, no,
how that's
something else.
All over Boston.
Yeah, the barbecue
so
thing.
Good, though.
Yes.
Right? With a Guaraná soda? Boy. Shout out to Boston.
Nice.
That's part of growing up in the Bay Area. It's like Dungeons and Dragons. It's like, yeah, I started as this ethnicity, but culturally, I'm actually this.
Yeah, totally.
I'm like, I'm African American, but I'm really a Chinese person inside.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this.
Always.
Now you're reminding me of Chappelle again.
Yeah, no, my.
Shout out to Dave Chappelle, man.
Hey, that's all double D. Speaking of which, everything you see here, experience, is brought to you by our wonderful producer, Deshaun Davis, a dreamer.
Deshaun Davis,
we were walking down
all day
with the streets of Auckland, and he and my wife were like, how do you find a great Chinese restaurant in every country that you're in? And I was like, because I'm the black Chinaman. So some current events I'm very excited about. Rodriguez versus Stevens, because when the fight was happening last Saturday, I had to go to an event, and I was up in the hills of Los Gatos, and I couldn't get reception. And then I saw it was an eye poke. I was like, yes, because this fight needs to happen when I have reception. So thank you.
Right.
That's great. That was wonderful. I also saw, as of news today, which is really exciting, we have got Usman versus Covington booked.
Finally.
For December 14th.
Covington, I was in Berkeley the other day and saw a dude with a Cole Covington shirt, and I almost got at him. Like, I was like, you know what? I'm a human being, bro. He can wear that shirt.
Yes.
But I was hot, though.
Well,
I was hot because he was just walking around like he was hella dope. And I was like, do you even train, bro?
Do you train UFC, bro?
But I was like, you know what? Who cares, dog? Because he's going to feel stupid in that shirt after his boy gets his jaw dislocated.
That same way. I have a homeboy who was like, yeah, I was walking on 4th Street and I saw a dude with a Proud Boy shirt. And I was like, we could do something about it. Or we could just let them be who they are.
Yeah.
And things will play out.
This is America.
This is America.
Yeah. Covington, man. He's going to get his jaw dislocated, bro.
This is very interesting what has happened in this short time of like his rant. Like he's lost his gym.
Is he really out? Because it looked like it was imminent.
He said he was on his way out. Apparently,
funny because he clowned Robbie for the same exact reason.
Exactly, yeah. But that's what I've been trying to warn y'all all 2 years. Every time you think this dude's a faker, he is the embodiment of everything that this country needed to see to change itself and fix itself. That dude.
Is America going to be great now?
No, not at all.
Do you hear that? That was the sound of the other unasked question. When was it before? Mm. By the way, hey, Clifford Harris, also known as T.I., you have no business arguing with Candace Harris or Candace Owens. You
Come
no
on,
business.
Man. He had to get out of breath. She talks reckless. Did you hear her on Russell Brand? Was out of pocket.
But
and the only
both,
reason Russell Brand didn't serve her is because he's not a black man. Because if I would have been on that show, she would have got demolished.
So he's mad at her because she cooperates with the federal government?
It's deeper than that. You know that.
In the immortal words of Rockness Monster, or excuse me, Sean Price, CI pop-ish, same type of guns that T.I. got popped with.
Wow.
Candace ain't the only other person working for the federal government. Moving on.
Oh.
AC. Help me out here. ADCC is happening this weekend.
Abu Dhabi Combat Club.
Why is that relevant? Because as we explained on the last podcast,
so
this is like the Super Bowl of jiu-jitsu.
Not only is it the Super Bowl of jiu-jitsu, it's like these dudes, the Abu Dhabi Combat Club, created by the one and only great Sheikh Tanoon in Abu Dhabi, in Dubai, started flying people out in like 98.
Mm-hmm.
Top dudes from Sambo, American wrestling, jiu-jitsu, whatever. And he would just have them squab, you know, and it was fantastic. And it's become a legacy. It's an honor to go to Abu Dhabi. And now Flow Grappling is going to be streaming that competition. They have a Brazilian by the name of Muhammad Ali going against Gordon Ryan.
Oh.
And that is going to be maniacal. Now,
they say don't trust a man with two first names, and you got two of those in that matchup.
You do.
Gordon Ryan is about that life.
Completely. And I think Muhammad Ali is a savage. If anybody can do it, it can probably be Muhammad Ali. But Gordon Ryan is a beast in the zone with the best coach in the game right now, John Danaher.
From what country? That's right. Kia or I also got to give Ryan credit because I was skeptical about his book and I started reading it and doing the exercises. I got in the shower one day, looked at my core and was like, hey.
Really?
Yeah. Yo. Yeah. No. Yes.
I think
conditioning for grappling, yo, that it works. Like you just get out. You're like, oh, I'm Captain America now.
Listen, a lot of people don't like Gordon Ryan because he calls himself the king. He'd be wearing like Burger King crowns and stuff and capes. But you know what, though?
He chokes people out.
He does so much work.
Yeah.
That like he reminds me of Muhammad Ali in the way that he's talking crazy, but he's training way harder than you think.
Right. Straight up.
You know? And so that's the
deal.
Yeah,
he's a sav. Him and what's the other one? Gary Tonin? I'm just now catching up and learning all this. See,
Tonin's
see, the
a
more
savage.
You talk, the jujitsu, the more I learn.
Right.
The Terminator.
I'm figuring it out,
that was
man.
Great.
Thank you. What if the Terminator came back from the future to do futuristic jujitsu? Wouldn't that be scary? He's like, I'll be back to take your legs. Okay. BJ Penn was released from the UFC.
He was
yesterday.
Big surprise there.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you.
But is it thank you, though? Because now is Scott Coker going to be like, yeah.
So I think really.
Well, I mean, it's kind of.
Come over here and finish your career with a couple wins.
I mean, it was already written in stone. His last name is Coker.
Wow.
Damn it.
I walked
directly into that
handed,
wall.
You paved the runway. Was... You gave it all. And I have no choice.
Yeah.
Welcome, Cage Cousins. Good to see you. Come on in. We're doing this thing called a podcast.
Enjoy.
You might like it.
So BJ Penn used to live a few blocks away from me in San Jose.
Nice.
We both used to train at Half Gracie right around the time he left House. Him and Alex Oxendine, shout out to Alex, opened up his garage, which was then called Legends. And we were training there. And I didn't train there a lot, but I trained there enough. And, you know, I was around BJ and his brother JD a lot. And, you know, to see BJ where he's at right now is pretty sad. But I think that, you know, I forget. There's a rapper named One Below. He said something like, it doesn't matter if you hit the bottom as long as you bounce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I don't know how BJ ended up where he's at, but I feel confident that he'll bounce back.
I think there's two comments about that. And I think the first one is BJ is just a war dog.
Mm-hmm.
And in his mind, he's supposed to die on the battlefield.
Yeah, that's very true.
The second piece about it, what I've always loved about BJ, especially when I would compete whether it was battle rapping or whether it was in tournaments, you know, in the early No HB days. Mm-hmm. It's like, you look at that dude and he just didn't care what weight class. And right. I just appreciate it. I always, yeah, this guy's got 15 more pounds on me, but how is that any different than getting jumped in high school? You know what I mean? So like, right. I don't, whatever, whatever. Or this dude came with 10 dudes to the battle and I got me and four other guys. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm a that's true.
I always appreciate it. And so the challenge is how do you get that guy to look at the world differently when he's always like, you know, well, you know, you're closer to 50, BJ. You know, you shouldn't be fighting. Well, isn't that how I got here? It's the same with Anderson, right?
Right.
If J.K. Atkins was here, who we miss dearly, he'd probably tell me it's a terrible idea to have old men fighting and all that. But there's got to be some kind of Masters League the way they do grappling.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like his future will be in Abu Dhabi. I feel like his future will be in things like Abu Dhabi, Polaris Pro, EBI.
But
I
he could be there right now.
And hopefully not bare knuckle boxing.
He could be there right. You know that's next. He could be there right now, but he's not because there's not cheering. He wants that. He wants the gladiator.
But I think that there may be something going on within him that he needs to change before all of that will happen. Because his fans are there.
Yeah.
I like that you brought up that he could go to the jiu-jitsu stuff because these last few years where he's just been losing, losing, losing. I'm like, dude, why are you not going with the jiu-jitsu? Why are you trying to outbox these young studs that are outboxing?
Yeah.
I still am haunted by that time when, I forget who it was. Was it Yair or was it Rory where he's like crying and they're like interviewing him? He's like, I shouldn't be in here with these guys with all this energy. And I'm like, yeah, that reminds me of sparring, okay? Like, I get it. Don't say that in front of 40,000 people, bro. Don't get in there.
Right, or think about that before you ever sign that contract to even...
Speaking of retirement...
Which they should have never even offered that fight.
They really shouldn't have. Speaking of retirement, I ran into a personal hero of mine the other night, and he told me that a little secret, and now the world knows that secret, which is we are going to get Daniel Cormier versus Miocic 3.
Nice.
All right, tell the truth, though, man.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be different, bro?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you why. In my opinion, it's different. Daniel Cormier's body showed up. His mind wasn't there, and that's why a fight he was winning, he didn't know he was winning. The reason he didn't is because his father was dying of cancer. And having lost...
I keep forgetting that. I literally keep forgetting that.
But he comes from the same cloth as Dominic Cruz, where... there's no excuses allowed. He's never going to say anything like that.
Right.
I lost. And also, he also has the honor code where he's not going to take anything away from Miocic.
Right,
that
right,
guy
right.
was the better man. I mean, you know, as much as I really dislike Chael Sonnen, when he lost twice, he was always like, Anderson Silva is the better fighter. Period. He won tonight. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that is the honor
code. That's a wrestler's mind, too. Wrestlers make no excuses.
That's the honor code. So, I think it'll be an interesting fight. I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the purest of both of them because we had Miocic coming off you know, the Ngannou fight where he did survive, but let's be real, Ngannou is one of the hardest punchers in this planet.
Yes.
And then he got knocked out in the first round. Then he got the year off to recover. Now you have DC, who was obviously not fully there. And now you're going to get the purest of both Miocic and
deep.
DC.
That's deep insight right there.
It'll be a fight that we will all enjoy no matter what the outcome is. And props to DC. I'm glad he put it out there. No matter what, I'm retiring. He said, even his wife said it. If you lose again, it was meant to be. If you win, you get to go out on top.
Yeah.
Best of both worlds.
That's beautiful stuff.
That's it. What is ironic and great is that we're going to take a little break. We're so happy you're here.
We are.
Thank you very much. Cage Against the Machine. Shout out to you there. We're going to have to pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
Peace.
And we are back.
Back again.
As you can see, Nas has his book of rhymes. I have my book of notes. Because I write things. Notes. We're going to talk about a couple prelims, and then as usual, we'll jump into the main event and the main card, kind of really give it to you. One fight that I'm very excited about. Jamie Malarkey versus Brad Riddle. Why am I excited about this? Someone actually someone named their last name Malarkey.
Right.
You ever had a teacher who tell you
that? That's why you're a good fighter. If your last name is Malarkey, you can fight.
You'd be like, ma'am, I need to go to the bathroom. No, you don't. You just want to go out and hang around the girls. No, I need to use the bathroom. That's Malarkey.
Yeah.
Remember that?
You have to fight, bro.
And he, Jamie Malarkey, is fighting Brad Quake Riddle. Now, can this be any more on the nose? Brad Quake Riddle fighting in Marvel Stadium?
That's tight.
You like that? You may, yeah, I know. Incredible power, speed, and accuracy. He just got signed to UFC. You guys may not know this. The little homie from City Kickboxing trains with the rest of the squad there. Israel, Dan Hooker, and Alex Volkanovski, which got announced against Max Holloway. So you and I are going to have beef during that fight. So I'm going to give this one to the Quake by knockout.
Yeah,
what round?
By knockout.
Oh. Third?
I didn't pick a round, but I just know Quake is 2-0. Malarkey's 8-2, but his last two fights were two that he got knocked out.
Yeah, they're trying to,
interesting.
They're trying to feed him.
So he's kind of on a slump, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
By the way, shout out to Big Vic. Shout out to Big Vic. I see you out there. I appreciate you. You got bars for days.
What's up, player?
But I do want to let you know you're going to have to keep talking to me about this Dr. Sebi stuff because I ain't convinced. Okay.
I'm so hella convinced. I'm with you.
That's why I brought him. He's woke. Me, on the other hand, I'm like,
I'm not woke.
Was it acid?
Wow. Or is it
base? It's called chemistry from Chemetry. Thank you very much. All right, moving on. What was your fight? Tell, this one is going to make me laugh. What was your prelim fight?
My fight was Makai Coconut Bombs Pitolo versus
hold on.
Harry Potter.
Is it coconut?
No, not Harry Potter. Sorry.
Is it coconut bombs with the S or a Z? Clarify. Coconut Z. Bombs.
Bombs. And he drops those coconut bombs very well. 8 finishes, 5 of them being KOs.
Really?
Ooh.
And his last fight was on Contender Series, where he had a body shot KO.
Yeah.
And Potter lost his last fight by body kick. So yeah. I think this is set up perfectly.
This is what we call a cage.
Kanaka,
feeding.
Please handle the business.
Yeah, we call this feeding. And this is a concept that Brandon and I have where the powers that be at the UFC say, we like you, and it's nothing personal, but we want him to win, so we're going to put him up against this
we're
guy.
We're just going to throw you in with the
what do
the
you
mayhem.
Throw? You throw body kicks? What did you lose to 3 times? Body kicks?
You should fight.
I'm going to put you on the same room, see what happens.
Right. We're trying to make some highlight footage.
But Potter does have quite a few finishes of his own, so
yes.
You know, it can't be slept on and overlooked. But
so our main card would be starting with Holly Holm versus Raquel Pennington, but I'm just finding out from Brain that this fight was canceled. Holly Holm injured something.
Yeah, man. They haven't said what the injury is yet, but it's crazy that these, like, why is this like something that does not ever happen in boxing and it's just always happening in MMA?
Oh, I can answer this one, teacher. Oh, I can answer this one.
Sweet, sir.
Oh, okay.
Sweet, sir.
I will take USADA for 400, sir.
What about before USADA?
Did you have the same amount of injuries?
Yes.
No, the data does not say that.
Oh.
The data does not say that. I told
data.
You.
Data.
No. Performance Institute. No. Does not say that. All right.
Can we also say that because you're training so many more different styles rather than
just... It's not the styles. It's the amount of time.
Move the feet.
It's not that.
I think it's the intensity.
It's the double days. It's you did jiu-jitsu in the morning, and then you did wrestling at night, or you did kickboxing in the morning, then boxing, you're going to get hurt. Fighting hurts.
A lot of times they don't rest enough.
That's the number one reason to do steroids, so you can recover.
That's right.
I got an injury in my hand on Monday.
I'm doing steroids right now.
I take a steroid tomorrow. My hand doesn't hurt. That's what it does. It's recovery.
Right.
Doesn't make you... some people make
them
stronger.
It can make you stronger.
Yeah. So a lot of it is that. That's why the steroids were so popular. It's like, yo, I can go in there and beast out for 6 days a week because I have the chemicals going.
And kids, just so you know, when I said I was doing steroids right now, I was just kidding.
Right.
And don't do steroids. And John Matuszak, look that guy up.
Okay.
Spell it.
Matuszak.
And look up John Cusack.
John Matuszak, man. He was one of the first fatalities from the roids.
Right. Right.
Football guy. Damn legend.
Right.
But like...
Speaking of, what about Mark Kerr, documentary.
Man, come on. Why you gonna make me cry on the show, bro?
Yeah.
Mark Kerr, two R's, K-E-R-R. Look up the Smashing Machine.
Smashing Machine.
On YouTube. If you want to learn about painkillers and steroids and why it's all bad, that's the dude.
So my guess is with the Holly Holm, Raquel Pennington fight moved out, are we thinking Megan Anderson gets moved in there in that spot?
Possibly. Yeah.
So let's talk about that fight real quick.
I'm a fan of Megan.
Considering there's a week, could they throw someone in against Pennington?
I think they throw somebody else in the beginning, and they just move that fight because it's a name, right? And Megan is Australian.
Right.
And I don't think... And she's fighting at 145, so she ain't going to fight Pennington.
Yeah.
So... Megan Anderson, what can I say about this? This hype train, chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga, has been running for 4 years ever since Isha came up here, swearing Megan Anderson would come to the UFC, beat Cyborg, destroy Holly Holm, unite the kingdoms, and become the Khaleesi.
That's right. She was supposed to.
She didn't do none of that. None of that happened.
None of it happened?
Most she done is won by a toe poke.
She did win by a toe poke.
You could do that to the family dog.
But you acting like because that happened, she can't fight. And that's why I'm not happy with your whole tone.
But but the people
that's definitely
okay. Here's my tone.
She definitely could fight.
Yes. Okay.
But
so
the hype
she is
a little bit premature.
The league she came from, yes, is great. But I still have this issue. I think like when you come out of Invicta and you go into UFC, the leap is so big.
It is a huge.
It's
gap.
It's not like the LFA. It's not like the WEC. You know what I mean? The leap is so big when they come over. You see the difference in competition. So the minute Anderson saw her competition, Holly Holm. What did Holly Holm do? She took her down. Non-wrestling Holly Holm took you down. You are a kickboxer with no takedown defense yet. You need more time.
Right.
Don't believe you. You need more people. Mr. Sweet has had 5 cups of coffee today. Just all once and once. She is facing... I can't even say. You know jiu-jitsu. You know Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Don't ask me to say that.
Zara Farndo Santos, which is really interesting that she's named this because she got hands for days. She can box like Junior Dos Santos.
For real? She got hands?
She got hands. She got really good footwork, and she trains at TMT.
So do you think, though, that she has enough to stop Megan?
This is an interesting classic matchup. Boxing short person versus Muay Thai long person. If she gets inside, it's a quick night. If Megan stays on the outside, Dos Santos is going to get touched up.
Who has the better ground game?
Ooh.
We don't have a sense of Megan on the ground for real, am I right?
Last name is Dos Santos.
I'm just saying.
Am I being a stereotypical person to think that every Brazilian
not necessarily,
can do jiu-jitsu?
But it would be
shout
hard.
Out to Eli. Where's the jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, see?
Shout out to Eli, because the minute I said Daniel Cormier, he's probably texting me right now with some meme.
That's why he didn't want to fight Jones.
That's why.
Jiu-jitsu, dog.
Daniel Cormier deserves to be thrown into the seven seas. God, he hates Cormier.
A lot of people do, though.
But he loves Jon Jones.
A lot of people do.
But I hate Jon Jones.
I don't like that he enjoys cocaine, but that man can fight.
That's all he can do. Right. He need to fight some demons in himself. Who do you think is winning, Dos Santos or Anderson?
I think this is kind of like what we said with the Callum Porter and Makai Pitolo. I feel like this is a feeder fight, and they're like,
who's getting
like
fed
you said,
to who?
She got the hype train. She came in.
They want her to
lost 2 out of 3. They want her back on that hype train. They know, especially being in Australia, and she's.
But remember, she gave them hella grief too. When she came in, she was doing all this contract stuff. I don't want this fight. I don't want that fight. I'm not making weight. Maybe they're trying to clean her out.
Ooh,
Could be.
They got the contender centers.
I want to know who her jiu-jitsu coach is.
To do that,
Australia's got a lot of good jiu-jitsu.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that right now. Australia's got a lot of good jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
She might come out ripping off legs.
Megan! Forgot your jacket!
Our next fight on this main card is... Luke Jamul, I know I'm saying that wrong, versus Diego Lima. Why does that last name sound familiar? I'll come back to you. Jamul is another killer from City Kickboxing. He's changed his name from the Jedi to the Juggernaut. So a little bit less peace, a little bit more. I'm the dude, bitch.
Yeah.
He is traditionally a boxer, but has added like 9 years of Taekwondo training to really give him that kickboxing style. Lima, on the other hand, is the brother of the Bellator champ.
Ooh. I saw one of his fights.
The Phenom.
I saw one of his fights. He's actually dope to me.
Yeah, no, the Lima brothers are scary. And if you saw what Lima has done recently.
Yeah, Diego's first stint in the UFC did not go well. He did that Ultimate Fighter, and you could tell he just learned a lot from the beatings that he took in his first stint.
Yeah, I just having watched his brother and watching the training sort of like ethic and etiquette of Lima, you know, this guy worries me. And that's not to say that Jumeau's like training is not there. I just haven't seen enough of it. I haven't seen enough fights, enough things. If I do research, there's not enough tape for me to watch. The problem is the Limas have this penchant for finding the weakness and transitions between the striking and grappling. And that's where they catch people. Right. Was it Michael Chandler? Or was that Pitbull who did him in?
It probably was Pitbull. Lima's 170.
Lima, so what did Lima do in? Larkin, my boy Larkin. Lorenz.
I think he beat Lorenz once, but he also just knocked out a Venom Page MVP.
Right. Yes.
And he had perfect example. He had to take his belt back, or I think he wants to take the belt back from Rory McDonald.
Right. Right.
Who just wrestled him the first fight. And, yeah. You know.
So I suspect for me it's Lima by decision. What say you two?
That's exactly what I had on my picks.
Okay.
I'm choosing Lima to win by strikes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Moving on to our next fight, we have Tai Tuivasa versus Sergey Spivak.
Tuivasa's—he puts hands on people.
Crowd favorite. Yeah, crowd favorite.
I'm going for Ty off top.
Loved by the Aussie crowd. I'm not sure that Australians actually want to see him fight. I think that they like seeing him drink beer out of his shoe.
Yeah, the shoe he is.
I'm not sure that they want him to win fights.
Well, he has to win for him to buy a house. He has to win for him to do the shoeies. So
right.
Not that he's going to win, though.
But no, he does. Not true. Not true. He does him in the audience. He does him in the audience when he's chilling. So they just want to, I think they kind of want to see a clown.
But that's what I'm saying. That's when they'll highlight it as he's walking.
Here's the thing about Sergey. He's he calls himself a polar bear, which kind of reminds me of my least favorite scenes in Blood In, Blood Out.
Wow.
As it turns out.
But he's got the name of a Russian assassin.
Yeah. I'm so glad you bring that up. Guess where he's from?
Where's he from?
The Ukraine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Been a little quiet in our news lately.
These guys are both heavy hitters. I think somebody's going to sleep in this fight.
If it ends in no contest, I don't think anybody here will be surprised that there's controversy around Ukraine.
Dude, those dudes are going to thug out. That's going to be a great fight.
Yeah. Do you remember? Have you seen Ty's last fight?
He lost his last two.
Right. He sucks against wrestlers.
Oh,
right.
What do we know about
Sergey? I love him, but he's like, Mark Hunt 2.0.
He does have 5 submissions and 4 KOs. Wow.
Yeah.
Whereas Ty has 7 KOs and 8 wins. Hopefully it stays standing. Somebody gets knocked out and we get to see some
shooting. I
would
prefer that in the first round.
Yeah. All right. We now move on to our co-main event. Am I correct?
Yep.
This is just a very exciting fight for me.
Right.
Al Iaquinta versus Dan the Hangman Hooker. Al's done very well for himself, and you have to walk through his story.
Yeah.
Going all the way through Ultimate Fighter,
right.
Losing in the finale to Michael Chiesa, right?
And that was the only season they did it live.
Right, and for good reason, right?
Right.
He's had a bunch of wins in his division, and then somewhere in there, he caught that beef with Dana.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was about, but he was like feeling like he wasn't getting the right fights, even though he was pulling out of a lot of fights and he was getting injured. Somewhere in the narrative, he was beefing with Dana, which is weird to me because his coach is Matt Serra. And I don't think there's anybody who's more in the inside with Dana than Matt Serra.
That's real.
Right? So that was really weird
to me.
Which
is probably why he didn't get cut. And
right.
Now that's true talk right there.
You know Sarah's back there like, come on.
It was actually pretty funny when he used to tweet stuff like, you know, if you want to make money, sell a house. Don't fight in the UFC, right?
Right.
And then he got himself back in the blessings by after the notorious event of Dolly Gate. See what I did? Notorious,
I like that.
Dolly Gate.
I like that.
He came back and saved the card, fought against Habib, and he had that hilarious quote, I don't want to fight Habib for 5 rounds, right? So you got to give me a mill. So he came in on that, and he's had some interesting fights recently. Kevin Lee, right? On the other hand, you have Dan Hangman Hooker, who I gotta say, to me, I have a special place in my heart when my beloved New Zealand wife asked me to find fighters who actually trained and were born in New Zealand. I went and did my homework. I met, you know, and I saw Dan Hooker. I was really impressed. I started doing research on City Kickboxing, and I've just been really impressed. Dan has just put together win after win after
Dan
win
Hooker's
after finish.
Dan Hooker's
he is a killer.
Bro.
Yeah, 18 wins, 17 finishes.
Dude,
and
he's
only,
dangerous.
And really, his only moment of pause was maybe against Edson Barbosa, who might be the best kickboxer in all of MMA, right? I remember watching him knock out James Vick and look into the camera and say, I demand to be on this card with my brother Israel. Mm-hmm. And we even joked about it on here. And so to see his ability to turn that around, I'm really excited.
Impressive.
This is going to be a war.
Somebody's
this is
hurt,
gonna be,
bro.
Yes, somebody going to get hurt.
Get for real hurt.
this is not, yeah, because this is like, Al is not going to quit, and Hooker is a disgusting sniper.
And he's going to go after that.
This
fool,
is
bro.
Going to be very
he ain't playing,
exciting. Bro.
I guarantee you, when Dan Hooker, when they close that cage, bro,
yeah.
he's
yep.
going after that fool.
Yeah.
And don't get it twisted. Just because he's a knockout artist, he still has 7 submissions as
bro,
well.
Bro, he's, yes, yes.
He's very well rounded.
Yes. And maybe going out of bounds to say, maybe the top net taker at that gym.
Really?
Hmm.
And I may not be able, I shouldn't say anything else. Let's put it that way. Yeah, my thing, Hooker by decision.
You don't think Al's going to have anything for him on the ground?
Al's definitely got something for him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, you know the resume,
don't
right?
Count him out.
Matt Serra, Henzo Gracie, Danaher, right? I'm just saying, Hooker, I think people have this assumption, oh, you're from New Zealand. You don't know. No, Hooker's ground game is phenomenal. All that. I'll give you a hint. All the reversals we love Israel for, where do you think he learned them?
Okay.
And he admittedly says that. Yeah.
Okay.
Hooker is disgusting.
Okay.
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 Your takes on it.
I got Hooker by TKO.
Yeah.
Third round.
Yeah.
Okay. That was simple. Hey, Cage Cousins out there on the live. All you guys listening to the podcast, watching us, we appreciate you. Don't forget to like, subscribe. Hey, this year, we'd really like to get up to 500 YouTube subscribers.
Would you?
Would you do it? Just like. Just takes a second. Go to Cage Against. Just like our channel. We'd love you for it. Thank you. We're going to go take another commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about the main event.
Main event, boy.
Very excited. Thank you very much. We are back.
Back again.
Cage Against the Machine, round 0. We are here to talk about the event we're all looking forward to and have been for a year. UFC 243 gives us Robert the Reaper Whittaker versus Israel the Stylebender Adesanya. There's so much going on here. Let me start first with this, which is really amazing, and you may have noticed my tribute to my dear other country. One of the things that's impressive and the promise that I made to all my Kiwi family is, if you do the history of the UFC since 2005.
Five.
Is that what it was?
That's what it was.
Brain, 2005? And yep. What I call it, Brain and I used to stay up to the middle of the night to watch Pride fights and try to tape things and do all that. And then we'd watch UFC religiously together.
Yeah, man.
And it was really when Dana got involved and put it back on Spike, like we'd be calling each other like, yo, this is great. The Ultimate Fighter was bringing stuff back. It was really inspirational for us. And there became a moment I remember when I called this fool and I was like, hey, did you just see this Brazilian dude knock out Chris Lieben? And Brian was like, yeah, this Anderson guy. I was like, that guy is on bullet time.
Crazy.
And ever since then, I felt like the 185 division has been the defining characteristic of the greatness of the UFC.
Hey, that's fair. That's
the
fair.
The middleweight.
That's fair.
And even
that's
if you
fair.
Look at that in boxing, middleweights are the ones to watch. You have accuracy, you have speed, you have power. So I always
that's
promised,
deep.
And for a whole year, I promised my Kiwi family, what we have been clear for 12 months, the two greatest fighters of 2019 are both Kiwis. One, Kiwi by birthright. You know, has a bloodline of a Maori.
Dang.
Or a Morty.
Yeah.
Okay? The other one grew up in New Zealand. Came there from Nigeria.
Shout out to my Nigerian family. You know what it is.
Right? Spent time in Rotorua, right? Which was sort of like their Lake Tahoe, okay, for lack of a better term. Or maybe Fresno. Maybe that's a better analogy.
Okay.
And then moved to Auckland after really, and went there just, I have taken Taekwondo. I've done Muay Thai. I want to be a world champion.
He's a savage, bro.
Oh, man, I wish I could call him that. Very high, refined civilization. So this is a very interesting. So we are here. Let's really step it in. This is now time for the main event of the evening. I'm not going to do the other stuff because I have a longer little story for you guys to think about. This is a little bit too on the nose.
Go ahead.
A Maori training out of Australia fighting a Nigerian raised in New Zealand.
That's beautiful.
How do you figure this out? How do you call this?
That's crazy.
So let's frame this real quick. And it's still on the nose, too. What stadium are they fighting at?
That I don't know.
Marvel.
Marvel.
Crazy.
Like, literally, Marvel Stadium. Okay. And we'll talk later about which Marvel, which Avenger-esque characters they would be.
Right.
We, as fight fans, never got the fight we always wanted. What was the UFC fight of modern day that you always wanted you never got?
Silva versus GSP.
Thank you, brother. Were you reading my notes?
No.
You just said we begged for it.
That's just the one.
We
that, like,
never got it. We'll never get it. But on October 5th, we are going to get GSP 2.0 versus Anderson Silva 2.0.
Deep.
Okay?
I like that analogy.
Deep.
How do we know this? Whittaker has incredibly strong jiu-jitsu skills that he puts into his grappling. He's added an exceptional amount of takedowns from his wrestling. And he's got really good takedown defense to match, as we saw against Yoel Romero.
Tight. Right.
He has hands of stone, with his strongest attribute is his tight technical boxing, which has earned him the moniker of Bob and Knuckles.
Okay.
Yeah.
One day, we should put him in a room with the RZA, and we could say, Bobby Knuckles, meet Bobby Steele.
I can't do that.
Thank you very much. To boot, he adds in his
Bobby. Bobby.
Bobby. Nice doo-doo sticks. He adds in his Hapkido-based striking, which duels as kick checks and attacks. If you want to know what that looks like, kind of think about it.
Hapkido, though, is suspect as a whole style.
Styles are suspect. Whole other discussion. That's a Bishop Chronicle. We'll tune in. Styles are suspect.
Bishop Chronicles is my podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes.
We'll go on there and talk about this.
Mixcloud and Spotify.
I like it on Spotify. Did I ever tell you my theory on styles?
No.
Okay, this is why I love mixed martial arts.
Go.
Take your favorite style.
Favorite.
Add, and let's put a number of techniques that are in there.
Right.
Right? Let's pick a number of how many techniques that style has.
Okay, 1,000. We'll just say 1,000.
Okay, let's say that less than 20% of it is actually applicable to MMA.
Right.
That's why it's mixed martial arts.
I get it.
I dare you to slip a boxing punch.
Hapkido as a background and done well, I don't think. Who do we know?
This guy. He has a Hapkido background and he's got a belt. He beat Yoel Romero twice.
Where was the Hapkido in his victories?
Great. So when he does the Dutch blocks, right? Okay. Catch, kick back in, that's where you see it, right?
That's fair.
Technique works.
I like that you said he just applies certain aspects
to
everything else because.
Oh, I had this long.
He was never a wrestler, but he applied the takedown to his.
I'm so glad you said
it. And look. Karate. Timing,
yes,
and his that's Russian.
Why yes, so and he would take those three styles. They would talk to each other. He would take the Superman jab, right?
Right.
He would take his shoot, and he would take what you were pointing out.
The karate
out, right?
timing.
The karate, the not even a Shotokan, the
Kyokushin.
Kyokushin. And that's why he was able to blitz like
Shout
that.
Shout out to Peter Goldman.
Shout out.
He's a Kyokushin fighter.
Speaking of GSP, he's able to, what makes Whitaker nasty is he's able to throw that same power, the way GSP threw a jab, the Superman jab, the high kick, and the takedown. So he uses that blitz.
That blueprint.
Adesanya, in contrast, has proven multiple times, three times, that style bending is real. By the way, he combines his jiu-jitsu sweeps, okay, his wrestling reversals, and his rollbacks, which is some Tai Chi stuff that comes out of his style. Right. Again, I'm not going to tell you that learning Tai Chi is going to make you the best fighter, but there are techniques and training that comes out of Tai Chi.
There's aspects of all styles
that you will see that.
That's fair.
And a lot of people don't know that a lot of the stuff that happens in New Zealand, the kickboxing is based in Chinese kung fu.
Okay.
And that,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Sancho. Yeah, and then in fact, Israel spent hella fights in China. Hella fights.
Okay.
Also, people, if I haven't mentioned this before, Israel has been a training partner of both Vitor Belfort when he was at the Black Zillions and Rumble Johnson. That's how he got
it. He was also coming back.
Wow. Yes. So he's good with Rashad. Adesanya has an excellent gauge of range. The only other person I think I comparably understands that is John Jones, given his long height. And he uses these clever traps by putting his hands down, keeping his chin up, reminding us of Anderson Silva. Mm-hmm. You think he's open, you go for it. Ooh,
he's not.
You just got five of them. You're about to get hurt. Take that home.
You're about to get hurt.
Right. Here you go. Here's some ranch dressing for your wings.
Why is my lip bleeding now?
Right. And he can generate lightning fast techniques with the same velocity as Anderson's knees. That same blitz we've been talking about. Bah! It just happens in a moment. Huh? So how does this play out? It's really hard for me to give a strategy for either of them because I'm such huge fans.
Of both.
Robert Whittaker was the first fighter of current UFC that I could latch on to post Mark Hunt and say, hey, family, this is my guy.
Right.
Adesanya, on the other hand, and City Kickboxing has so many hands into everything I love about martial arts, whether it's allowing my broken handicap self to train with them,
right,
or training amazing people like CSA Pleasanton's own Jenna Fabian is a student of Eugene CSA Berryman.
CSA Savage.
Yeah, so they're all family to me. It's very emotional. It's very hard for me to go, okay. So how do you get to the goal? To take the belt and unify the titles, Adesanya has to set a pace. He's the interim champion. He has to take the belt. True. So he has to set a pace. He has to land five strikes for every one of Whitaker's.
Especially because Whittaker has that much more power to the lightning quick.
You knew where I was going.
And he's got to hurt him early.
And he may not even have to go for injury because he has to, as he pointed out, pick him apart, right?
Right.
The risk in that with those flurries is that Whittaker can change the momentum on the right counter, and he's done that so well, especially against opponents who outsize him. Sorry, Derek. This is a fact. Now, to defend the belt and unify the titles, Whittaker has to not only survive, all he has to do is basically survive in front of the Anzac changes.
Right, he doesn't
right?
just, yeah.
Right? Because you have, short of not of getting knocked out, he just, you know.
Oh, no.
One could argue that keeping the belt through a bunch of split decisions ain't going to do it. Okay?
Hey, can I be real honest, though?
Yes.
I think Israel Adesanya's ground game is super suspect.
I'm glad you said this.
I think it's super suspect, and I noticed that in one of his last fights. I forgot what I saw, but just as a jiu-jitsu brown belt, I was like, ooh, that's dangerous, bro. You're going to get caught slipping. I remember that. And so I think that we have to, like, on his feet, he is explosive and dangerous and all of that. But I think if Robert Whittaker can put him on the ground and, like secure a side control, it might end in a way that we don't expect.
Right. But I also agree with what you're saying.
I know what you're talking about, by the way.
Robert's such a warrior that he would only go to that if he's really getting picked
apart.
If
he's feeling like it's not working.
He's like,
I was just about to say.
But if it's a close fight on the feet, the way they've been talking, it's gonna
stay there.
If Whittaker starts taking,
I gotta beat you.
Yeah,
I gotta show you. I gotta show you what's happening.
If Whittaker starts taking a lot of damage, right, he's gonna start pushing Adesanya back to the cage.
Yeah,
he's gonna ask for, you know, try to get him to retreat, and then by landing these power shots and keep trying to take him down, this is going to set up counters.
Mm-hmm.
What you're speaking to is when he went for Gastelum and tried to do the choke to take him down.
It looks so sloppy, bro.
Yes.
And I was like, are you seriously in a cage not knowing right now? Now, anybody can slip in a competition, and anybody can have like a brain fart and be like, what the hell am I doing or whatever, and blow it. But I was shocked because of his general skill that those gaping holes were there, because that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to make excuses, but I could see, I don't think it's a lack of development. I think that dude fought 6 times in 1 year.
Yeah.
And I think striking has one, as you know, has one level of cardio.
Yep.
Then you start grappling with somebody, you're like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that burrito, right?
Hella quick.
Here's the other hole that we want to think about. I don't believe anybody survives two fights with Yoel Romero and remains unscathed.
I agree.
Fights that radically change people's ability to fight. There is very few people.
You just become like war torn.
I have yet to. Yes. War torn. Can somebody name for me somebody who has fought Yoel Romero, with the exception of Paulo Costa, and is doing well afterwards?
All right. I got to go back to, I hate to use this terminology because it's so disrespectful.
Yeah.
But it's pimp terminology. It's called mileage on a hoe.
Yes. Right. And what mileage he's referring to is how long has the garden instrument been drawn? Okay.
What I'm saying is, like, everybody's got this level of fights in them, right?
Yes.
And then after that point, right? Yes. After a certain amount of mileage, a certain amount of damage, a certain yes. amount of trauma,
yes.
you're just not going to be
the same
who you were.
You don't have the same
and
chin.
So, and so the question is, how close are, you know, Israel seems so young, like he's got this long future, right? But like, I'm not going to say that he hasn't been tested. He is a savage. It would be ludicrous to say that he hasn't been tested. But I will still say that he hasn't been fully vetted. It's going to be a minute. It's going to be a few more fights. And this is one of them, for sure.
Right. That's
and the cycle of life, because we started out talking about BJ, and BJ is the perfect example of that.
Mm.
At a certain point after that Frankie fight, he was never, ever the same.
True. And he also went through how many fights, right? And he also was not taking
Frankie
care of himself.
Edgar, yeah.
Right. And as you said, fighting Lyoto at heavyweight. You know what I mean?
And also doing a lot of shit outside the ring that he should have been doing.
But I will give you a devil's advocate. There's a pro and a con to this. With those two Romero fights, those been his last two fights, and that was in the last 30 months.
Mm. Bro.
So he's had time to recover, and also there is the thing called ring rust.
And also he pulled out of last fight with a hernia.
Right.
He's allegedly
what opened the door, because he was supposed to defend against Kelvin.
He's allegedly He's allegedly cleared the fight. Doesn't know.
To step in and
he
was like, opportunity there, let me take it.
Right. And then this also is somebody who is had a history of pulling out of fights because of this injury. Right?
Yeah. Mm.
So this is a pattern with Whitaker, as much as I love him. He's the only champion I have in my fantasy league.
Right.
But I gotta know, and I think Izzy's been paying attention to that.
Yep.
He said he's been competing in wrestling and jiu-jitsu to make sure that he doesn't
just slip.
Get too rusty.
Right. Sure.
So, okay. Then that's
but
fair.
That also is not full hardcore competition. Like that's not 100%.
But based on
But I mean, Nate Diaz just showed, hey, sometimes ring rust is body recovery, and I come back and three-piece pet us up.
Yeah.
One of the things that's interesting about jiu-jitsu specifically in the cage, is that it's about not so much whether one fighter knows jiu-jitsu or the other fighter knows jiu-jitsu. It's about them being able to impose their jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So while he was making all those mistakes, he may have a jiu-jitsu strength that we haven't had an opportunity to see.
Yes.
Right, so he blew that aspect. Very okay, well, his guillotine and his triangle, like, what the heck was that? Right, okay, fine. But he may have an arm lock, or he may have, like, a leg lock that we just haven't seen it. And so if you can impose your jiu-jitsu, it's not jiu-jitsu at all, it's your jiu-jitsu. Can you impose your jiu-jitsu on your opponent before they get opened up to their jiu-jitsu?
I heard
that's a big part of it, big part.
One last thing I would say that's here's the hint. He trains with Alex Volkanovski, and if you look at what Alex just did to Jose Aldo, one of the things is Aldo at 145 maybe had some of the best counter wrestling you've ever seen. He made like people like Chad Mendez look ineffectual. And Alex got in there, and Jose Aldo could not trigger anything. So
hella deep.
There's a way of actually striking that makes it impossible for grapplers that they're starting to do. So
and that's been what I feel like MMA has been working toward.
Yes.
Since Royce Gracie first, you know what
Agreed.
I mean? Right. And it's taken much time. And that kind of timing and stuff for grapplers, it's an impossible feat, because you can't get that. It's so hard for grapplers to become fluid, because they just don't have the hours in.
Cain Velasquez had it against his second fight against Junior Dos Anjos. He had it for that fight.
You're right.
But it is a hard flow state to get to. So for me, I actually believe the new champion will be Israel Adesanya by split decision, which most haters will go, oh, my God, here you go, winning by another split decision. But no matter who wins on October 5th, the real winner is...
the fans.
Kiora, I love you all, people. This was always a pleasure. We're gonna
thank you for having me, dog.
We got to have him every time. We're going to get on the Bishop Chronicles. We figured out some places in the East Bay for us to take.
Yeah, we're talking about that. We're going to do a show.
Okay. Nice. I am the Sweet NBA. I'm joined by
Brain Damage.
As well as
Adisa the Bishop. Thank y'all.
Everything we do here, edited, recorded, produced, mastered by Dream Air Productions, DeSean Davis. Look him up if you need that work.
Booyah.
Go ahead, like, subscribe, share. We are on Spotify. We are on Anchor. We are on Google Music. We are on Apple Music. We are on YouTube.
YouTube.
Become a part of the movement. We will change it for you. Without further ado,
Chill.